the latest twist in what's been called the Obama administration's Asian pivot. The president's chief science advisor, John Holdren, says that the U.S. would benefit from cooperating with China on future space missions. But a little-known clause inserted into recent federal legislation now prohibits NASA from pursuing efforts like that. With us to explain is John Mattson, associate editor for Scientific American magazine, where he's following the story. John, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So what kinds of projects do science advisors like John Holdren envision the U.S. undertake with China?
Well, traditionally, the U.S. and China haven't done a whole lot together. That's been partly because, the nations aren't direct allies in a number of ways, but also because historically the Chinese space program hasn't been that advanced and hasn't had that much to offer. Now that's changed. The Chinese space program is doing very well. But still, the things that people envision are very long-term and very big picture. There's a problem with space debris, which is simply that there's too much junk in Earth orbit, and it's unless we do something about it, it's just going to continue to be a bigger problem that threatens satellites, that threatens the International Space Station, whatever spacecraft we might choose to launch in the future with astronauts inside. Another big long-term project would be an astronaut mission to Mars. That's something that right now no nation really has the resources to do on its own. And if that is to be a continued goal of space programs worldwide, it will have to come with a lot of international cooperation.
Back here on Earth, is there a broader political benefit to cooperation in space with China?
A lot of people think so. If you look to U.S. relations with the Soviet Union, space cooperation was used as a real tool to sort of find common ground and demonstrate ways that the two nations could work together. In the 1970s, there were even manned missions where they met up in space, and an Apollo module docked with a Soyuz spacecraft, and they shook hands through the hatch, and that was really symbolic of a sort of thawing out of relations between the two nations. And, obviously we're not in a Cold War with China, but it might be there might be something similar that could be done to sort of establish a dialogue and sort of expand that common ground.
Here's the twist, however, a legislative kink in those plans. What is this wolf clause that's inhibiting this kind of initiative?
Well, there were some people in the House. It's sort of known as the Wolf Clause because Representative Frank Wolf of Virginia was one of the key people behind this. There were some people in the House who are really concerned about China's human rights record and also about the threat of intellectual property theft, especially in the high tech realm where space is so firmly rooted. So this clause was introduced that basically says NASA and the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is sort of the administration's science headquarters, neither of those agencies can use any of their federal funds to develop, plan, or host any joint programs with China. And again, in NASA's case, there hasn't been a whole lot of that in the past, but the administration has gone on record as saying this is something that we would like to have the opportunity to discuss. This is something that we would like to have in our toolkit for negotiation to sort of see where we can't get China to make some changes, especially in the area of human rights and intellectual property theft. There could be an exchange that where we might participate in exchange for some concession from the Chinese on those fronts.
And this legislation, or this clause rather, was inserted into legislation, November? Within the last year, twice on two occasions, correct?
Yeah. As you know, the federal funding cycle has been a little bit it's been a little bit stop and go. So this first popped up in one of these temporary funding bills, a continuing resolution that sort of kicked the ball down the field a little ways. But then when NASA got a fuller budget in November that will extend through most of 2012, the same language appeared. So it's now sort of I wouldn't say etched in stone, but it's more firmly sort of written into the legislative scheme now.
You talked about, you know, evoking the Cold War on some level. It does have that familiar feeling of the U.S. and the former Soviet Union. I'm wondering about the concern, because the suspicion of spying, that becomes more difficult. I definitely get the human rights idea, but suspicion of spying when a joint effort like this requires sharing development and technology. I mean, is the real fear that in the space race this time we might not win?
You know, that's a good question, and I do think that some people are intimidated by the way that China's space program has developed so rapidly in the past few years. Our own space program is having its troubles. You know, it's still a terrific space agency with a lot of resources, and you know, there's still no nation in the world that has come close to doing the things that NASA's done in the past few decades. But I think people are a little intimidated by the fact that the Chinese program is so ascendant. Another thing that they're intimidated by is that the at least the Chinese manned space program is a little bit opaque in terms of who's running the show. It certainly there's certainly a huge role for the army, for the People's Liberation Army. Whether that's a complete role, whether the manned space program is just a military offshoot, or whether there's more participation from civilian agencies, isn't entirely clear. But so that is a legitimate concern that you know. There isn't really a civilian manned space program in China in the way that there is in the U.S.
How's the White House responding to congressional pushback on working with China on space missions?
Well, so far NASA has gone along with this. So the most visible thing that has happened is I think there were some talks that were canceled, you know, where representatives of the two agencies were going to come together and discuss some things, and those were taken off the table. Another thing that happened was there were some Chinese journalists that were trying to go to one of the final space shuttle launches last year, and they were denied access because, according to the letter of the law, no government representatives can be hosted on NASA property, and because they were members of a state-owned media outlet, they qualified as government employees, and so they weren't allowed onto Kennedy Space Center for one of those launches. Now, the administration has gone in front of Congress and said, you know, we don't really like this. We wish that we had the opportunity to work with China a little bit on these things. And in fact, as it applies to the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, the administration has basically come out and said, we're not going to honor this legislation. We think that this infringes on the president's constitutional right to conduct diplomacy between nations, and insofar as science can be an arm of diplomacy, we will not abide by this legislation.
John Mattson, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
John Mattson, associate editor at Scientific American Magazine. There's a link to his article on the Wolf Clause that restricts White House efforts to cooperate with China in space. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. We've also posted other links on China's ambitious new plans for its space program.